Hello, and welcome to the IT Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Seward, and today we'll be looking at the current and future operating systems for PCs and game platforms, the tools used to develop games, the application programming interface or APIs used in game platforms, and finally, how today's broadcasting companies are trying to cash in on the interactive scene with TV shows that allow you to play along at home. So firstly, operating systems. Operating systems, as we all know, are the hardware and software architecture and the software or application framework which allow the games to run. There are many different operating systems out there, but the two mainstream and most common are Windows and OS X. Of course, there are others, but these two are the most recognisable and used all over the world. For PC, we currently have Windows 7. And for all those Mac fanatics out there, we must mention OS X Lion. Looking into the future now, and Microsoft have Windows 8 with a release date of autumn 2012. As well as the traditional x86-based AMD and Intel machines, Windows 8 can now run on ARM-based hardware, the same type of kit as the iPad or any Android tablet. So we can expect to see plenty of interesting kit to hit the streets after the launch of Windows 8. Apple's next operating system is Mountain Lion, looking at release date of summer 2012. And again, will bring far more integration to iOS, found on the iPad, iPhone and iPod Touch. So let battle commence. So, now we know the current and future operating systems, we're going to move on to how these operating systems support PC games. We all know that the operating system manages all the computer hardware resources. The new operating systems allow for the newest software to be used on your computer. So for example, you want to play a DirectX 10 game, then you'll need the newest operating system out. Currently, all the newest and most advanced games require you to have this newer software. As well as allowing for the newest software, it acts as the intermediary between the hardware of the computer and the applications which allows the hardware and software to interact. Operating systems are responsible for other tasks, but these are the main two reasons how operating systems support games. Let's have a quick look at the Xbox 360 and PS3, which are the most popular or recognisable consoles in my opinion. The operating systems for the Xbox 360 is the Xbox 360 dashboard, which I'm sure most of you already know. It is updatable software, which I really like as it can change at any time, and over the years it has had multiple updates that change the layouts and features of the dashboard. If you have one of them, then I'm sure you've seen these changes. The operating system of the PS3 is CellOS, which appears to be exclusive to Sony and may be a limited function set of Linux or Unix OS. It is very difficult to find out for sure as information is hard to come by, so it seems that Sony are keeping this under lock and key. Both of these operating systems are giving the gaming world more and more options. For example, the Xbox 360 now has Bing Search, YouTube, Netflix, Sky and more. All of the applications came with the update, which cost you nothing. So, keeping with the game theme, let's move on to game developing tools. The definition for game development tools are a specialised software application that assists or facilitates the making of a computer or video game. There are multiple tools used when creating a game. An interesting fact about these tools is that nearly every developer, and by developer I mean the company or individual that makes the game, will make the development tools custom to the game they're producing. Of course, they use other tools which are COTS or commercially available off the shelf, like 3D Studio Max, Photoshop, Microsoft Visual Studio, etc. Another tool is that becoming more and more powerful is the game engines. Another tool that is becoming more and more powerful is the game engines, with the likes of the Crystal and Frostbite 2 being two of the newest and most powerful, with them fueling Battlefield 3 and the new Lara Croft game. But you still have to remember we've had the CryEngine, the Unreal Engine and many more that have given us games like Gears of War, Crysis, Far Cry and others. The game engines provide a software framework that help developers create video games. Another tool is the programming language. The most popular language currently is C++. But you have other languages like Java and C that are also popular. C++ is widely used in the gaming industry for a few reasons. Firstly, it's quick. Secondly, it supports different coding paradigms like object-oriented, which is good for programming video games, and procedural, which is used for logical programs that follow a sequence. This means C++ allows you to do a variety of different things, from creating computer games to logical programs. C++ has three big features that are used when creating almost any program. These are inheritance, whereby a child class inherits properties and methods from the parent class; polymorphism, where a variable, function, or object has more than one meaning; and encapsulation, that conceals functional details from other classes. Though this language is an intermediate level language, it offers the scope to create high level coding. Moving swiftly on to the graphics and sound systems, or APIs. So, what is an API? Well, it's a collection of application programming interfaces which allows the multimedia components to talk to each other. A very popular API is DirectX, which was designed by Microsoft to handle multimedia tasks. There are a lot of applications in this collection, like Direct Play, Direct Sound, etc. When combined, they are called DirectX. The most common of these components is Direct 3D, which is widely used in the game development world for the PC, Xbox, and some Sega Dreamcast applications. DirectX is a common requirement for most PC games. For example, Battlefield 3, the best graphical game currently available, requires DirectX 10 to run. Depending on console, the APIs will differ. For example, all Microsoft products will use DirectX, but Sony use OpenGL, which stands for Open Graphic Library, which is a cross-platform API that allows applications to be written to create 2D and 3D computer graphics. The last topic of today's podcast is Play Along TV. Way back in 1932, the BBC began broadcasting the first television programme. However, the take-up of this was interrupted by the Second World War. But in 1946, at the end of the war, the BBC reopened the service, and that was the beginning of our love for television, which has forever changed the way we entertained ourselves.
Your life as it has been is over.
Television has produced a whole generation of passive consumers of entertainment. It's estimated that some 3 billion people worldwide watched the Royal Wedding in 2011, which is close to 40% the entire population of the world. So you can imagine the possibilities that television companies have to make money from such a large audience. However, there is one not so small problem with passive entertainment. There is no interaction between the TV company and the viewer, so no opportunity for the broadcaster to make any money. Added to this, the rise in the use of internet is taking away the TV audiences. It has been predicted that the internet will overtake television in advertising revenue this year. So, TV is in a decline and needs something to bring it back and avoid losing the audience they once had. What the broadcasting companies need is a way to tap into the interactive market, and two-screen television, or play-along TV as it's sometimes called, could be the answer. Imagine a TV quiz that you can take part in, debates where you can ask a question, or a bingo game where you can join in on TV. What if the viewer was given the chance to continue to play along after the game show has finished, tapping into a desire to continue the experience and take part in a competitive game? Allowing the viewer to take part in a game as it is shown on TV to actually become one of the competitors. Will this work? Well, the BBC launched a television national quiz format called Test the Nation. Broadcast in 2002, it was seen as highly successful at the time. The nation loved the idea of taking part in a national quiz. However, after a relatively short run of 17 different shows over 5 years, the series was discontinued in 2007, as audiences were becoming bored and viewing numbers were declining. I personally think that the television companies are too late to stop the rise in popularity of the home PC and the internet, or even try to better the rich experience that online gaming has to offer, or even stand alone for that matter. You only have to look at how many people play online card games and gambling to realise how hard it will be to draw them back to television again. Thank you for listening. I'm Josh Seward, and I've been your host today.